Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Last time on The Laundry Hour, we talked about a new awakening. We are walking through Beautiful Girlhood as a book, and I hope that you have truly been enjoying this series, because I know that I have. But it is coming to a close with today's episode called Getting Ready. If you are new to The Laundry Hour, I am so glad to have you. I hope that you would start back and listen to the beginning of Beautiful Girlhood. But either way, I'm so happy that you're here. What's really cool about today's episode is kind of like tying a knot on everything that we've been talking about in Beautiful Girlhood. Last week, what A New Awakening was all about, the concept of everything that we're giving our children, the character building blocks, teaching them godly ideals, being great examples for them, all goes to this moment when they have the opportunity to choose for themselves if they will follow Jesus. He will make himself known to them, and our hope and our prayer is that since we have given our children everything that they need, now when that moment happens, they know how to respond in faith and obedience. And our deepest prayer is that that happens before college, that it happens while they're still living in our homes. We get the privilege and the pleasure of walking with them through the beginnings of their walk with Christ. So this week is just the getting ready. We discuss the beginning of the book's focus of kind of the rosebud, and womanhood is when the flower is in full bloom. But then, what happens before that? Before that, you get the little bud, and you see the bud, and that's what she calls girlhood. So I guess childhood is when every flower looks the same in some sense. They're all green. And then the girlhood happens, the boyhood happens, when you see the bud, when you see the beginning of them becoming who God has called them to be as a boy, as a girl, as a man, as a woman. So getting ready, I love how it starts with a quiet hour. I think quiet time, time with the Lord, meditation, prayer, family worship, all of those things, whether separate or together as a family, are so important for the growing of our relationship with God and others. How will you build a deeper relationship with anyone if you don't spend time with Him, if you don't spend time talking to them, if you don't make intentional efforts to build your relationship? It won't grow, right? As married people, we know that to be true. As parents, we even know that to be true. As friends, we know that to be true. The same is true with our relationship with God. It will not grow unless we intentionally grow it. So make sure that you get some quiet hours, minutes, seconds, days even. I like how it goes in next with friends with books. I never liked reading growing up. And it wasn't until college that I enjoyed reading books about Jesus and how to walk with Him. But I never got to experience, like, sitting down with a good book and getting lost in it. Like, I missed out on that part of learning. Now, obviously, I learned culture and history and science and fiction and poetry and literature in school, but I never learned it on my own. And this chapter really made me think about homeschooling and think. I specifically like the Charlotte Mason method, and I like how she focused on giving the child a feast of knowledge. So just like we like Thanksgiving, some of us at least like Thanksgiving, because there's so much food and you can decide and pick and choose what you want. And so if I give my child just everything, being there with them, of course, but giving them everything, they can be like, oh my gosh, I never knew I'd want to learn Chinese, or I'm passionate about it, I'm good at it. Because if I don't give them the opportunity, they never get to learn about it. Anyways, that's just a random rant. But friends with books, if we can teach our children just the life and livelihood that can come from books, I think and I hope that they would find also the life and livelihood that comes from the Bible, and maybe vice versa, because now I think, like, man, the Bible is so rich. Understanding that is a whole different sector of books, but what if I went back and read some books? There'd be such rich understanding of myself and others and God and how the world works if I learn about them. So that's an interesting thing about getting ready, because eventually your child is going to be outside of your home. We want to equip them with knowledge. We want to equip them with the Word of God. We want to equip them emotionally, which is kind of cool because this leads into the next one, the love nature and boy friends, friends that are boys. Again, I think it's cool that she spoke twice about our appearance and beauty, and I think it's cool that she's also speaking twice about, because those are two different chapters, but they're back to back, but how to handle the opposite sex. In some homes, this is the dreaded conversation, but it shouldn't be that scary if we seek to walk with them, to teach them, to guard them and guide them, because we all know that love is blind. We all know that emotions can be confusing, and we know as the parents that hearts are fragile, especially in emotional love feeling like having situations. I'm reminded how in this book Karen has talked about what is so difficult about girlhood and boyhood is that they have the emotions of an adult, but the mind of a child. So I don't understand what's happening, but I know that something's happening in my body. I feel a certain way. I'm thinking a certain thing. And I don't know what to do about that. And it's weird, and I don't get it. And and then you heighten all of those things at the same time, and then they don't like their hair or their clothes don't fit and whatever. And that's why you get the waterworks, and that's where the yelling comes from. And that's why preteen, teen life is so difficult. I know. I've thought about premarital counseling. If I know that certain things happen in marriage, I'll be more prepared when they happen. So preteen counseling, we know that there are certain things that are going to happen in a teenager. Let's prepare ourselves for them so that we're not shocked and confused when it happens. But we're ready, ready with the sword of the spirit, ready with armor, ready to help them, ready knowing they're going to have grown-up emotions, but they still have the mind of a child. Like, how do I help them walk through that? How do I prepare for that? I don't know if that's interesting and exciting to you, but I don't know the answer to it, but I'm really excited to figure it out. How to walk them through having friends that are boys. How to walk them through their first crush, their first disappointment. It's exciting because I get to learn them. My children, I have two little girls also. I get to learn them as different little girls. How are they different from each other? And teach them how they're different from boys. How they can learn from boys. How they're different from boys. I know I said that already, but go with me. And how they can also learn from each other as different girls, but then also learn from boys. And as well as in the process of that, they get to learn themselves as they are, as girls. I am a girl, they are a boy. But then they also, hopefully, in having friends that are boys, get to learn, oh, that's what boys do. I don't do that. I'm not a boy. Vice versa. Or, in the situation, they can say, I enjoy this. They enjoy that. How cool. We can do things together because we enjoy the same things. I never really had friends that were boys growing up that were just like, let's play together, let's hang out. My mind always went to the love nature when it came to boys. I know, crazy Jamie. Anyways, let's continue to a girl who can be trusted. I like this chapter because this came after the new awakening. Now, Kids, yes, will be kids. Boys will be boys. Girls will be girls. Trusting your child has little to do with your relationship. I'm trying to decide how I want to say this. I didn't specifically write it down, but here's basically what I want to say. I like that a girl who can be trusted, this chapter has come after the awakening to Christ. Because in some ways we can trust each other, but in other ways we can't, because we are flawed human beings, but we can trust Christ. And if my child has had an awakening to Him and is pursuing Him and following Him, then I can trust my child because I trust the Jesus that's inside her. You going with me on that? Or this Jesus inside your son? If they are building a character and ideals on Christ's perfect pattern, though they are young and growing, they can be trusted because Jesus can be trusted. If they are truly following Him, then I can trust my child in a situation that I wouldn't like them to be in. Not to say that I want to put them in situations I don't want them to be in, but if something were to happen, I can say, I trust my child because I know who they trust. And this also does happen in relationship, as I'm watching them and walking with them through their relationship with Christ. And I've experienced them walk through hard things inside the home and seeing how they have walked through them well with the Lord. Having discernment to see if they truly are following Jesus, if they really are walking with Him, or is it just lip service and all of those things. But I, essentially what I'm saying is I appreciate that trust is founded in Christ. As we continue to get ready in this last portion, because if we kind of think about it, it has gone through some stages. Beautiful girlhood, understanding kind of the just overarching plan of their girlhood is the process of getting ready. First, we have given them character building blocks. Then we have walked through our character and these ideals of ambition and purpose and dreams and friendship. And then we've had this new awakening. We have actually experienced Christ for ourselves, and now we're continuing to get ready. So we could see the character building blocks as, you know, the beginning little girl in second grade or kindergarten in that stage. And then we see third through fifth grade where they're figuring out their ideals and what they like and who they are. And they have that new awakening when they're 12, 13. I'm just saying these things. Obviously, this is not a science. And then they're continuing to get ready from this age of 15 to 18 or something. They're figuring who they are. And they're getting ready for the great responsibility of being a woman, being a wife, being a mother. Understanding that not everybody becomes a wife and a mother, but every little girl will grow up to be a woman. So how do we get them ready for that? I like that the next chapter is choosing a life work. What's cool is that this whole time that we've been giving them character and ideals, we've also been noticing what their gifts and their passions and their talents and their callings are. Friend would say that a parent's job is to discern the child's gift and then lead them into that direction. Whoa. So far, my husband and I can see that Noah Brynn loves music. She's singing. She remembers all the words to songs. And it is beautiful to watch. We also notice so far that she is a pleaser. She does not like it when people's feelings get hurt. She likes to help. She likes to serve. Those are really good things to notice in a two-year-old. How do I lead her in that? We sing more songs. We get her instruments. I let her help me serve in the home. She has her own like cleaning set. She enjoys that. She enjoys giving her bottle to her sister or bringing daddy some water. How do I help her do those things rather than stifling her and telling her, no, I want to push her in that direction, you know, lead her in that. encourage that in her. The next two chapters are about our life and our heart. A consecrated life set apart for God and His glory, and a pure heart that is blameless, not faultless. My husband likes to say this all the time, that God wants us to be blameless, not faultless. It's very easy when thinking about parenting to think about a child that is faultless, that they are obedient and well-behaved and make no mistakes and they get good grades and they do the right thing all the time. That's not real. And holding a child to a standard of being faultless can kill them. You know, perfectionism is a thing running rampant, and people not living up to expectations, not feeling like they're enough, especially a little girl, but a little boy too. That is a hard message to hear and try and live up to. Is that to say that they shouldn't strive for excellence? No. Or holiness? No. We still strive for those things, but we strive to be blameless. That we have a heart that is to love God and to love people. That we're striving to do the right thing and understanding that Jesus covers when we do mess up. But that we're always seeking to do and to live in God's will. So to have that consecrated life, I am set apart for you, God, for your work, for your glory, whatever that means. And I will seek to have a pure and blameless heart before you. And then, it's interesting, she ends with, okay, now we're not faultless, but there are some faults that we need to be aware of. And I appreciate them. There are faults that we will always have, but there are faults that affect how we love. So she talks about self-consciousness and how sometimes we are self-conscious and how that will stop us from doing what the Lord has called us to do. She talks about our selfishness, which of course will also stop us from doing what the Lord has called us to do. And I like this last one. Now, the other two are important, and I think we should listen to them because we are constantly selfish, and that is something that we just need to check every moment of every day. And self-consciousness, I think we can all be self-conscious in certain areas, in certain ways, and being aware of those areas where we feel, oh my gosh, notice them, be aware of them, pray about them, and figure out how to still walk through being self-conscious about how you sound when you sing, or self-conscious even about how you look, or self-conscious about your lack of knowledge of the word. Like, there are certain things obviously you can change and some things you can't, and figuring out, what am I self-conscious about? How do I walk through that? But I like this last one because it's very different than what I expected. She said, an inordinate love for pretty things. People in general like things that look good, but women who are to make their home and to care about how they look and dress their children and serve people in their home and be hospitable, all of those things have an aspect of looking pretty, a part of it. And it's not wrong for us to want things to look nice, but when our want for things to look nice goes above and beyond other things, then it becomes an idol. And being aware of how pretty things can become an idol to us as women is very important. I'm aware of it. I can see it. I like to say I'm getting a degree in homemaking on YouTube, and I love looking at things. I have gotten off Facebook and Instagram for the purpose, that very reason of this inordinate love of pretty things and how it causes me to covet. But I see also how now, even looking at YouTube, and I think it's a different thing because it's like, ooh, I can use what other people have done and do it in my own home. But I'm still looking at stuff and still trying to create now. Now I'm trying to create stuff that's pretty. And again, not a problem, not a bad thing in and of itself. But when that love for pretty things supersedes my love for God or supersedes my love for others, then it's a problem. And so being aware of my self-consciousness, being aware of my selfishness, and aware of my pretty thing idol, I think I can walk into, as a little girl, as a woman, I can walk in a womanhood just aware. And she ends the book with a rose in full bloom. So we've started with the bud. We have made it to the rose. And she says, a woman has an influence on three different groups of people. We influence other women. We have influence on men. And we have influence on the generations to come. How do you want to be known? Like, what's your legacy? What do you want to be known for by other women? Your love for pretty things or your love for them? How do you want to be known by man? By men? Your love for your husband? Your love for yourself? How do you want to be known by the generations to come? Your love for God? Or your love for them? I hope and I pray that our influence on women, our influence on men, and our influence on our generations to come is an influence that points people to Jesus all day, every day. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you so much for this book. Thank you for the opportunity to think about what it means to be a girl. Think about the character, the ideals, the pattern of Christ, and the whole process of getting ready. Lord, thank you for showing us how to be prepared as mothers to the journey that our children are about to go through, and how to be along with them every step of the way, giving them everything that they need, being a lot of what they need, because we can't be everything, but pointing them to the one that they need the most, which is you. Lord, I thank you so much for this time together as well. Thank you for the laundry hour. Thank you for what you've done for it. Thank for us through it. And thank you just for the opportunity to spend some time with you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you gotta have it, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week and we're gonna talk about something else. Not sure what, but you know, I love to pivot. I love things that the Lord does, and I love how he talks to us every single week through the laundry hour. This is not something led by me, or at least it doesn't feel like it. Feels like this is something led by the Lord. So tune in if you are interested in what the Lord has to say through the laundry hour. And with that, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus rest on you and your families. I love you. Thank you.